has been the one song of those who thirst after absolute power, that the interest of the state requires that its affairs should be conducted in secret. But the more such arguments disguise themselves under the mask of public welfare, the more oppressive is the slavery to which they will lead. Better that right counsels be known to enemies than that the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They who conceive secretly of the affairs of a nation have it absolutely under their authority. As they plot against the enemy in time of war, so do they against the citizens in time of peace.
Coming to you simultaneously from the center of the universe and deep in the heart of nowhere. AboveTopSecret.com presents the 2 out of 3 Amigos Conspiracy Show with your host, the Skeptic Overlord and Springer.
And now, prepare your tinfoil hats, align your ciphers, engage your cone of silence, lock your bunkers, and switch proxy servers. The 2 out of 3 Amigos.
Well, hello everyone. It is Monday, November 21st, and the 3rd 2 out of 3 Amigos show. On the other end is my partner in crime. Say hello, partner in crime.
Hello, partner in crime. Are you sure it's Monday and not Tuesday? I mean, as long as we've been trying to get this thing rolling.
The magic of Skype has not been so magical this evening.
It has been a challenge, but we have overcome and we are here.
Yes, we are, finally. It's we've been taking so long going through this. I've almost finished my bottle of McEwen's, which is what I'm drinking tonight. What are you drinking over there?
I am drinking fine American whiskey, and guess it?
Oh, come on, some variety. Help me here.
Dude, when you're in as good a shape as me, variety is not the spice of life.
You got to have something. You got to cling to something.
Different ice cubes are a different shape.
Oh, good. Yes, you know.
Yes, yes. I've got Arctic ice cubes.
I'll bet.
Yeah, they got little flies in them and dinosaur eggs.
So what have we
got
tonight?
What we got tonight, Bill?
I asked you.
Yeah, but I'm fast.
We both said the same thing at the same time. Well, we have a couple topics. I just want to talk a little bit about the podcasting on ATS. And then we did have a member post one question. Geez, I guess nobody likes these shows.
Yeah,
just only one
not.
Question in the thread for questions for the show. And then
it's a pretty good one, though.
Well, you might think so.
Of course.
And then I think there's something you wanted to talk about. I don't know. You were ragging on me all day about it.
Yeah, I've got a little something I'm going to bring up a little bit later in the show that absolutely needs to be dealt with by the two great minds. Okay, the great mind and a half that we have is 2 out of 3 Amigos.
Oh, who's the guest?
No guest. No guest. I'm borrowing half of mine from my wife.
So, wow, we got great minds. We got another guest.
I did say mind and a half, mind.
Oh, man. So, anyway.
One more time.
All right, then. So let's get right into sort of the first thing. So there's a new podcast series. What is it? Atestrogen? Is that what's going on here?
Oh, God. The Buffalo Bumpkinism shines through. Let's work on a little pronunciation here, Bill. It's Atestrogen. Say it with me now.
AT estrogen.
Estrogen.
So
actually, that is a great new podcast that Val Hall, member Val Hall, and one of our moderators, Parisia, have gotten involved in.
And now, see, I've always thought conspiracy theory was just such a manly topic. And so the girls are podcasting about this now, too, I guess, huh?
They are, and it's a different, you know how when you had your bachelor pad before you got married, and the place had a very unique look about it because there wasn't a woman's touch.
Yeah, I remember okay. Those days. It was
exactly.
It was no good. It was
weird. Newspapers on the floor, crossword puzzles, and sports sections. Well, that's
crossword
kind of
puzzles.
How I
you
see.
Did crossword puzzles in your bachelor
yeah,
pad.
Yeah, I'm a brain man. What can I tell you? I'm the one with the one. He's got the half. By the way, brain that is. Anyway, seriously, though, these two
yeah, really,
taken...
seriously, crossword puzzles? Who am I dealing
right.
with here?
Yeah, I do. I still like them.
All right.
anyway, these two have taken a female perspective to conspiracies, and I got to tell you, the first one made me want more. Tune in and check it out.
Okay. Well, we had, let me pull up the Safari browser here on the wonderful Macintosh computer. And we had a question. We had one question. I posted a thread in Board Questions and Business asking for members to give us something to work with on our shows. I guess no one cares.
I guess not. We only got one.
I guess that
We did get two. Well, Jay Johnstow asked one that just doesn't count.
Right. I guess that explains the 11 downloads of our last episode.
Yeah, we got 11?
Yeah, I was pretty excited. Another one yesterday. half of one, a member who's been around quite a while but just doesn't post a whole lot. I think we have a suspicious avatar here, though. What do you think?
Yeah.
Where's the avatar cops? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked if the moon landings really happened. He thinks so. But there's been some doubters some 30 years, and there's this guy, Bart Sibrel, who created the moon movie crap.
Something funny happened on the way to the moon.
There you go. Yeah. And our friend at Bad Astronomy. Yeah. Let's have another McEwen, and maybe I can pronounce it.
Well, let's get that Buffalo Bumpkin. We need a Buffalo Bumpkin singer.
just give me some chicken wings, and I'll be able to do that. By the way, people.
There you go.
The way to tell if someone is from Buffalo is they don't call the wings Buffalo wings. They're chicken wings.
No, they don't.
Yes. Anyway, the Bad Astronomy friend who's been on the site a few times really has done a good job of debunking that whole moon movie crap that's out there. But still, and I say crap maybe a little too harshly, but it has been a topic of varying popularity on ATS forever.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bad cold. It never seems to go away. Actually, it comes back. It dies down. Then there's I think as we get a new swarm of members in, that really haven't discussed it on our site yet, they bring it back up, and there's some new insights once in a while.
There is.
No, but I'm trying to be nice.
I guess it's one of those longtime conspiracies, and I will have to say. For some time, I did have some doubts about aspects of the moon landings, and it wasn't so much that we didn't go, but I did have some doubts that maybe the first two missions, Apollo 11 and 12, were staged.
Yeah.
And then 13 may have been the first time we really tried, and that didn't go so well.
It reminds me of our podcast tonight.
It's going to be our greatest failure.
Yes. I for one have never had any doubts about the moonshot until I kind of got caught up in it on ATS, and some of the stuff was presented so well that it really did make me wonder for 5-10 minutes. But when you listen to the astronauts themselves, one of the big things that these moonshot was faked guys bring up is that, well, look, there's no stars in the sky. What kind of idiots does NASA have working for it that they would fake this moonshot and have a black sky when you're out in space?
Right. You'd think if they were making an effort to fake it, they'd stick some stars in there.
Right. But you know what? If they stuck stars in,
then it would be fake. Right.
And why is that, Bill?
Well, the camera, the exposure on the cameras, and even the speed of the film to some degree, just couldn't pick up the more faint light of the stars as opposed to the extremely bright light of the lunar surface. And with a sun glaring down on it, with no atmosphere at all.
Exactly right. The sun never sets on the moon, ever. So just like, daylight on Earth, you look up, you don't see stars. I mean, you might. Boy, you might catch a real bright one real, real faintly, but that's about it. And it's the same thing on the moon. It's daylight all the time.
Right. So there you go. And then I guess that does that.
I guess it does.
End of story. No more moon conspiracy because the two of three amigos say so. All right, then. Moving. Go ahead.
And that's that.
And that's that. Yes. And because we said so. And now moving on to the big topic for the evening. So, Mark, why don't you give us a little setup for what you have in mind here?
Okay. I don't know how new this is, but it came up in our great new forum, Skunk Works, I believe is where I came across this. There's a professor from, I want to say University of Utah or someplace like that, Brigham Young University. And he is absolutely dead set on presenting the hypothesis, as he puts it, that WTC-7, that's World Trade Center, building number 7, at a minimum building number 7, if not 1 and 2 as well, were actually brought down by, you know, controlled demolition explosives rather than jet airplanes and fire.
Well, he must be an ATS member. That's been a topic for a long time on Above Top Secret, topic of speculation.
Is it not one of our biggest threads, most viewed?
Well, no, that's the Pentagon thread.
Right, but I mean, it's way up there, the stuff on that.
Well, and the professor is Stephen Jones, and he recently got some airtime with Tucker Carlson, and he was not treated very favorably, as you can imagine.
Not at all.
So what I like to do is play a brief snippet of that encounter.
Yeah, let's hear some of Tucker's fine work.
And I'll just start at the beginning, but I'm not going to play the whole thing. Not so much that the whole thing is too long for us not to play, but really? You'll get the gist pretty quickly.
Television. Two planes crashing into the World Trade Center, and less than a couple of hours later, both towers, of course, collapsing. The next guest says that hijackers may not have brought down the towers by themselves. Here to explain his controversial theory, Stephen Jones. He's a professor of physics at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. Professor Jones, thanks for coming on.
Sure, thanks, Tucker.
Just sum up this, obviously your theory, just the one sentence that I just explained in the intro, contradicts what we all think we know about how these towers collapsed. Quickly sum up your explanation for what happened.
Well, I'd like to start with this paper that you referred to. It's available online. What I'm doing, Tucker, is presenting evidence but it's a hypothesis to be tested. That's a big difference from a conclusion. And so I just wanted to clarify that. But to sum up, I've looked at the official reports by FEMA and so on regarding the collapse of these buildings.
Right.
I'd like to look at the collapse of Building 7 in just a minute. It was not even hit by a jet,
okay,
so we should look at that.
The two towers, the explanation has been that the fire inside was so intense that it weakened the structural steel and that each floor collapsed down upon the next in a pancake fashion. And they imploded in on themselves. Is that essentially, I think, what people think?
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. And so what I've done is to analyze these reports. But I would like to do a little experiment with you, Tucker, if I could. I sent out a video clip of the collapse of Building 7, because most people haven't actually seen that one, and that's the crux of the argument that I'm presenting.
Well, can you sum up very quickly the argument for us? You believe there were explosives in the buildings planted by someone, detonated.
Well, yeah.
Is that correct?
In other words, the hypothesis to be tested is there's two hypotheses here. One is fire and damage caused all three buildings to collapse.
Okay.
The other is that explosives in the buildings may have caused the collapse. And so then we analyze and see which fits the data better, and I've done that in my 25-page paper.
I want to read.
So Tucker, at this point, really doesn't give him a whole lot of time. He just keeps being impatient with, I guess, with the topic, not so much the guest or his speed of answering the questions. And Tucker only gives this guy slightly over 5 minutes to try to get into it. And as you can imagine. It's a threat of a million or more words on ATS, so five minutes just simply can't explain it.
Well, it struck me as Tucker would ask him a question, and then as soon as he got the question out, he'd say, okay, Professor, we're out of time, but, you know, you really got to get this in quick. Get this in quick. And nothing will drive you crazy more than somebody who asks you a question and then starts beating on you to finish up before you even get a chance to initiate an answer. I mean,
so anyway, let's sort of give this professor his due and get into the topic. I know you had a lot of good ideas. We exchanged a couple of UTUs today. And by the way, just so everyone is aware, these are unrehearsed and one take. We started this and damn the torpedoes, we're going to finish it. So that's why we have all these little burps and spills and mispronunciations going on in here.
You have mispronunciations.
Certainly. You can't get AT estrogen correct. So
that's right. Diving right in. My perspective on this is this professor has really done a lot of work on this. There's no question about it. I think the guy understands the engineering involved. I think he has a great grasp of, you know, building structure, thermodynamics, all the ingredients that go into, you know, what can cause a building like this to fall. I have no question about that at all. The interesting thing to me is he bases his whole argument on the fact that FEMA, now there's an agency that just has great credibility, do they not?
Oh, wonderful. I have so much faith in FEMA. You can't imagine.
Yeah, you know, there's a FEMA study that claims low probability, and I'm quoting here, low probability that the fires brought the building down in a symmetrical way.
Well, see, now here's a problem. Is FEMA on purpose not very credible, so that statement just could go either way, really?
Yeah, you're getting right up inside of my head now. Where I'm going with this is, you know, it's just crazy to me to think that a professor of his credentials are unimpeachable. Okay, he's absolutely a top flight guy. It blows my mind that he would base this kind of a big hoopla on one statement from FEMA. When if you really back up and take a look at this thing, who cares how the building fell? Okay, yeah, that's a big deal, and yeah, it's never happened before, caused by a fire, but what about motive? You know, that's I always look where the money is. That's just my nature. And what is the motive behind Mr. Silverstein, who's another character in this story, this guy that actually owned the buildings? And that's kind of the other flip side to Mr. Jones' theory, is that, you know, who stood to gain from this? Well, Silverstein did, by getting, you know, insurance money and things of that nature, because if it was, you know, caused by something other than an act of war, he'll get paid. If it was an act of war, he won't get paid.
Well, I'm not. Well, get paid for rebuilding, not necessarily.
Right.
It's not going to go into his pocket,
right?
And I'm not so sure how much of a motive that really is.
It's
that certainly was discussed a great deal, and I mean this event and everything surrounding really is responsible for the second renaissance of conspiracy theory thought, and also with the internet has really come to age from these events with these kinds of topics, but
it's.
I just don't see. I'm not so sure that the insurance money is really a proper motive. I mean, you and I, we have some exposure to business, and what really, what really happens to insurance money, and how hard it is to get.
No doubt.
Even if the buildings have been hit by airplanes.
Right.
And the restrictions on how you have to use it once you get it.
Absolutely.
And then now, what's happening in New York is it's possible that Silverstein may end up being pushed out of the rebuilding effort. The city is trying to reclaim that land from him and have it owned by the city. So whatever evil plot he may have had is going awry. So if he was able to plan for the demolition of these buildings around a terrorist attack, the follow-up planning is just as good as the American planning in Iraq.
Yeah. His exit strategy was pure genius.
Yeah.
the deal of it is, to me, is that the insurance money as a motive is nothing short of a joke, number one. Number two, let's look at the realities, okay? If we take out the fact that the jets hitting and the ensuing aftermath of that, be it fire, I don't care what it was. Diesel,
well, let's stop for a minute there. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, which I'm sure was barreling headlong to something irrelevant.
You hope.
Our professor published a paper, and if you go to the ATSNN article on this professor, there is a link to the news story that also has a follow-up link to the paper, and also the link to his paper is in that article.
Yep.
And it's some really interesting reading. And the one thing that is in here that came up from time to time on the board threads, but really wasn't compiled as well as it is in this paper. And maybe he did ATS for he used ATS for research. Who knows? But he talks about the several sightings of molten steel running at the site after the buildings collapsed.
Right.
And that it's, you know, up until recently, all we ever heard is that the fires were only hot enough to soften the steel, not melt the steel. And it takes quite a lot of heat to melt steel. And he's, you know, his hypothesis is that thermite explosions were used to demolish the building, and that is indeed hot enough to melt steel.
Right. One of the byproducts of thermite is molten steel. That's exactly how thermite works. It literally melts the steel instead of, you know, softening it or cutting it. So that's a very good point. And that's really the strongest evidence that this guy has. But still, I go back to follow the reality, follow the money. Let's look at how this could have happened. We have three options here. One option is the planes and the ensuing fire brought the buildings down, which is the government standard reply.
Which, by the way, pausing right there, is a pretty good explanation. I mean, the kinetic energy alone of those planes hitting something, anything, is devastating at the speeds they were going.
Right.
So,
and Val Hall actually did the math and put it up in a huge thread where she literally worked the calculations and proved. I mean, she went and got the material the steel was made out of in each building, the bolts, the rivets, everything. Yeah, and did all that and proved the fires were hot enough to bring the buildings down. No molten steel, though.
Correct.
That was never explained, but it was never brought up before now either.
Exactly.
So, again, getting back to my original point that I'm going to get out here, if it kills you, is that we have three options.
But no, never mind.
Yeah, right. The plane, the ensuing fires brought it down. Two, the explosives were pre-set before September 11th.
Right.
And three, that they were set between the planes hitting the buildings and the buildings falling. So that's the only three options that you can get at to either way, whether you take Mr. Jones' side or you take the government's side, it's the only three ways it could happen, which brings me to a whole new twist on this conspiracy. Okay. The molten steel certainly brings into question the government's story that, you know, the planes alone brought the buildings down. So that leaves us with option two and option three. Either the explosives were preset or they were set after the planes hit. Why in the hell, how in the hell did that happen?
You're asking me.
I'm asking you.
Well, that's...
You stunned silent, folks.
Right. I was just so amazed at the point you finally arrived at.
Yeah, well, I was finally allowed that was, to. That was, it's a miracle.
I sat back and I was listening. That's the tough question because it could go either way. I mean, there are conspiracy theorists and they have been very popular on ATS ever since this began.
It's a cottage talking industry.
About, really. Talking about, you know, the long-term planning of this event and that maintenance crews were installing explosives for months ahead of time. And if you're going to go to the pre-planning stage on being able to install the explosives in the right places, the right kind of explosives in the right places, that's the only way it could happen is over months with some kind of maintenance crew.
And that's a huge job.
It is a huge job.
A huge job. I mean, in a vacant, empty building, these guys, I mean...
Gutted.
These
buildings are often gutted as well.
Yeah. But I mean, even on a building that's intended to be demolished, I've watched the specials. I'm kind of hooked on, you know, like the History Channel or Discovery Channel when they show these guys doing their job. I mean, they spend a week just looking at the thing, surveying it, mapping it out, doing the calculations, which piers, which beams, which supports exactly to the square inch, this much explosive, this direction. It's got to be placed right here. It's got to be beaten back to the rebar. They have to cut through the concrete. I mean, this is a huge job.
Right. So we have these conflicts here of it's a huge job to get enough explosives in to bring those buildings down. And certainly you could argue that they expected the buildings to be weakened from the planes and maybe not as much explosives would needed to bring them down. But there's just so much crap information surrounding this that what does it make us think, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you what. Somebody, I don't want to just come right out and say, the government's covering it up and this is the version, but there is definitely something that doesn't make sense. The beauty of Jones' report, his whole thing, when I boiled it all down, what I came out with was the molten steel. The molten steel, and it's verified, there's no denying it was there. He's got witness reports, he's got it in reports from the scene. You know, okay, that tells us that thermite or very few other things were present when they went down. But, you know, to think that, you know, that it was done in between or on purpose just fogs my mind when you connect Silverstein. There's no way. Well, I'm not buying Silverstein.
But then everyone comes back to the recording of Silverstein saying to pull the building.
Right, right. I mean, that's been beaten up six ways from Sunday.
Hasn't it? It is a common firefighting term to just pull back.
Exactly.
And just give up on fighting the fire.
Yep. Now where I'm at with this is, okay, I'm convinced there's no way anybody got in there after the planes hit in the middle of all that mayhem and did the survey and installed the explosives. So that leaves me with one option other than the government story. The only other option is this stuff was put in there prior to 9/11. And why would you do that unless you expected 9/11? Now talk about a conspiracy. Whoa.
There it is. And I sounded an alarm sound effect with that because I think this is an important thing that we're touching on here. Is there's so much, and this is sort of something we've discussed on a lot of conspiracy topics, is there's so much disinformation all over the place that it almost seems as though there's been a concerted plot to plant so much disinformation all over the place.
Right. I mean, you know, you cover the gold with enough crap and people get tired of digging through it to find the gold. I mean, it's just standard operating procedure if you want to hide some.
Yeah, the conspiracy.
Hide it in plain sight.
Right. The conspiracy is the conspiracy theories.
Yes, it really is. You know, there's guys making a living writing books about this subject. You know, they come to our site. They sneak in. The internet has I'm sure a percentage of the growth of the internet can be attributed to conspiracies based on 9/11. You know,
and it makes you wonder. And we've always talked about counterintelligence pros and conspiracy theory disinformationists since the birth of Above Top Secret, but here we have. A culmination of a combination of events when we have the luxury of sitting here, drinking our drinks and blathering in our podcast and looking back at everything that's happened these past, four or more years. And
he was digging up. It just amazes me how when I read his whole thing, I read his whole paper. I went and looked at all the videos attached to it, all the different reports attached to it. And what I truly walked away from was the direction he's going is totally wrong in my mind, except for the fact he presents it as a hypothesis and says there needs to be a hell of a lot more investigation. And I agree with him 100%.
That was the most impressive part, is
right.
How
and
he
I bet
phrased
it never
his
happens.
Arguments. Right.
I bet the investigation never happens. I bet this disappears within a month.
Either that, or he is indeed
part of the operation.
The disinformation of confusion,
right?
And we'll see more of him, in the near future.
Right. I mean, that's a great point, Bill. It could go either way. I mean, he either is part of the puzzle, or he's as puzzled as we are.
He's part of the machine.
Yeah, I mean, looking at what he did, and I've read the whole thing, he could go either way. I mean, this guy could truly be just as dumbfounded in a few aspects of this as we are, or he is part of the machine. And I would invite him openly to join us on our site or call, you know, whatever. I mean, get a hold of us. We're easy to find.
Ooh, I think we see a special event coming.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to make him a project. I'm going to see if I can find this guy, get him on the phone, get him an email or something. And
would be great to see if we could get him on a podcast interview for one of our podcasts, and then see if he can stick around and be part of the special speaker forum where he's actually answering member questions.
I think it'd be great to get him on.
Right.
Let's work toward that.
Let's.
Yeah.
So
what else we got?
I guess we've pretty much covered that topic. I really am, and I've expressed this quite a bit in the 9/11 threads. I really am of the camp that, while I'm a skeptic, obviously, of a lot of conspiracy theories, with the events surrounding 9/11, there really does feel like something's wrong, but we're never going to get to the bottom of what is wrong, because there's too much out there now to try to find it.
Right, and it's reminiscent of the Kennedy assassination. I mean, here we are 40-plus years later, and that always felt wrong to a lot of people. Our contemporaries back then, I'm sure, were having similar conversations. And,
well,
and
can
here
you
it
imagine
is,
if the internet was alive
oh,
back
my
then?
Oh, God. Well, we might have found out what
we'd need
really.
17 servers.
Yeah. But, you know, and here it is 42 years later, and we still really have no clue what really happened to Kennedy.
It was the cancer man.
Yeah.
It was the cancer man from X-Files, didn't he kill
yeah,
him?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that was one of his first projects.
Exactly. What else we got?
Oh, I think we're done.
Oh, that's good news.
It's good news. Why?
Yeah, my glass is empty.
Well, it's time for a refill. Well,
It is.
Let's kick in the exit music, and I really enjoyed this one. I think we covered an interesting topic that's been on the board quite a bit.
I did too. I really did, except for the constant interruption in my achieving the nirvana of greatness that was my point.
But it was insightful interruption, and I think what happened is it led you ultimately to a better eloquent statement of your point.
Oh, I knew you'd see it that way. God bless you. All right, buddy. Hey, it was great. And let's take this out of here. And remember, www.abovetopsecret.com, the only place worth pointing your browser to.
That's right. So for more information on this conspiracy theory and a host of other conspiracy-themed topics from the likes of aliens and extraterrestrials, visitations, and paranormal events, stop on by abovetopsecret.com/forum. It's a very large discussion board. And as you're hearing tonight, we also have podcasts. A lot of our members are podcasting. And the AT Estrogen is a new one that should not be missed. So
do not miss that.
Do
and
not
remember,
miss.
We've got almost 2 million posts of great information for you.
And we will celebrate when we hit that number. So that's it for now. Good night, everyone. And we'll see you next time.
Have a great one.